Welcome to Torah Temach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we'll be studying together Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Ches, the 38th Perek. We're in the middle of a big chunk of narrative within Sefer Yeshayahu, and so far we're dealing with the encounter between Ashur, the Assyrian army, and the people of Yehuda. The first thing we had was that Rav Shakeh, as a messenger of Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, comes and threatens the Jewish people. Chizkiyahu, the king's messengers, are terrified, and they go and tell Chizkiyahu about the imminent threat. In response, Chizkiyahu sends them to Yeshayahu to ask what to do, and Yeshayahu promises that they will be saved. Miraculously, Rav Shakeh is called away. Before he leaves, he threatens Chizkiyahu with his imminent return and says, we will return, and just as Ashur has destroyed every nation, we will also destroy the people of Yehuda. At that point, Chizkiyahu goes up to the Beis HaMikdash, which he has, in the interim, entirely turned around and made into a place of true Avodas Hashem, service of God. And he goes to Beis HaMikdash and he davens, and Hashem promises him that he will absolutely be saved from Ashur. Ashur will never destroy Am Yisrael, and that there will be a miracle. And indeed, when Ashur does come back, and this piece of the story is really in parentheses, Ashur comes back and besieges Yerushalayim, this time not through Rav Shakeh, but through Sancheirev himself. And that's when the miracle does happen. And the way it's described here is that a malach comes and smites the whole city and the whole of Ashur, the whole encampment, and the entire people of the Assyrians die. Sancheirev runs away and he is brought to his knees. Perek Lamed Ches opens for us 3 days before the Assyrian army falls. So if you imagine the scene, and the Assyrians are threatening Am Yisrael, Chizkiyahu knows that he will be saved because he has that promise from Hashem. And just before the Assyrian army falls, so 3 days before, and we said that the Assyrian army fell on Nel HaSeder, so this is 3 days before Pesach night, Seder night, Chizkiyahu gets very ill. And that's how our perek opens. Pasuk Aleph, Bayamim Hahem Chala Chizkiyahu Lamus. Chizkiyahu gets deathly ill. Vayavo Elav Yeshayahu Ben Amotz. And at this point, Yeshayahu comes to Chizkiyahu directly, without Chizkiyahu calling for him like he did previously. Vayomer Elav. And he says, I have a message from you from Hashem. Tzav Lebeitecha, go and command your home. Ki mes ata velo tichye, that you will die and you will not live. So just as we had with other pieces of this narrative, the story is told also in Malachim and in Divrei Hayamim. However, there are slight differences. The most major difference actually is that here in Yeshayahu, we have many prakim of a tefillah, which Chizkiyahu davens. This tefillah, it's a machlokes exactly when he davens it. The one opinion is that he davens and then is healed of his illness. The other opinion is that he davens after he's healed and as thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for healing him. Either way, the words of the tefillah aren't spoken about in Divrei Hayamim and Malachim, and they're really emphasized here. And perhaps the reason is because Yeshayahu in general is a sefer which is much more poetic and has space for and an understanding of so much more poetry than the other books do. And the question we need to ask ourselves now is, why is Chizkiyahu sick? So far we have said Chizkiyahu is an incredibly righteous man. He has brought the entire nation to do teshuvah. He's cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash. He has everyone worshipping Hashem. He has removed all of the bad influences from the time of his father Ahaz, and yet he's sick and nearly going to die. And we're not told, both here and in Malachim, why he's going to die. Divrei Hayamim suggests that it's because he is arrogant. Unclear where we see that arrogance, at least on a superficial level, but the Gemara in Brachas suggests a different reason, or maybe the same reason for why he is sick. The Gemara in Brachas says the reason why he is sick and going to die is because he decides not to have children. Chizkiyahu saw through Nevoah that his child would become evil, and we know his son, Menashe, who was one of the most evil people who ever ruled over the people of Yehuda. And if Chizkiyahu's life mission is to bring honesty, sincerity, and God-fearingness to the people of Am Yisrael, he feels like having a child will be the antithesis of that, and he decides not to have children. And we'll see how maybe that is actually what Divrei Hayamim is referring to when it says that he's arrogant. Why does the Gemara suggest that Chizkiyahu doesn't have children? Well, if you do the math, at this point in time, Chizkiyahu is 39 years old. And at age 39, to be childless and presumably wifeless is definitely unusual. Not only that, but if we look at the words of the pasuk we just read, it says, Tzav lebeitecha, go command your home. There's a very clear directive being given by Yeshayahu to Chizkiyahu to say, the issue here is beitecha, your home. It may be, in fact, what he's saying is, go and organize your home. Go find a successor because you don't have children. And this issue of having children is really going to be the running theme of the parak that we're going to learn together. Vayisav Chizkiyahu panav el hakir. Chizkiyahu turns towards the wall, and the Gemara says he's turning to the wall of his heart. Vayitpalel el Hashem, and he davens to Hashem, and look at his prayer. He says, Vayomer, Ana Hashem, please Hashem, Zacharna es asher hisalachti lefanecha be'emes ubelev shalem. Remember that which I walked with you, Hashem, with truth and with a pure heart. Vahatov be'enecha asiti. God, I only did what was good in your eyes. Vayef Chizkiyahu b'chi gadol, and he cries a very big cry. What is he referring to? It could be all of the good things Chizkiyahu did that we've already mentioned, or the Gemara suggests one specific thing, that Chizkiyahu hid a book. There was a Sefer Refuah, a book that could tell you how to heal every possible illness. And people were using that as a crutch and not turning to God to daven. So Chizkiyahu hid away the book of Refuah, and maybe that's what he's referring to here. Either way, we could say Chizkiyahu certainly does have the merit to be saved. However, he's reprimanded here by Chazal. They say he shouldn't have asked to be healed in his own merit. And why not? Well, again, we're hearing that arrogance. Let's see why. Vayihi dvar Hashem el Yeshayahu lemor. Hashem responds to Chizkiyahu via Yeshayahu saying, Haloch va'amarte el Chizkiyahu, go tell Chizkiyahu, ko amar Hashem Elokei David avicha. This is what God, who is, and here's very important, the God of David, your forefather. This is what he said. Shamati et tefilatecha, I see that you're crying, and I will add to you 15 more years. You won't die from this illness, you'll live 15 more years. The mention of David is very important. Essentially, what he's saying here is as follows. Chizkiyahu, I understand that you're trying to create a renaissance of Jewish awareness in your time, but you see your time as a standalone event. It's not a standalone event. By recalling David, what he's saying is that you come from a lineage. You come from a legacy of people who are devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just as in the past you have a legacy, so too you will leave a legacy for the future. You're right, your son, Menashe, will be wicked. But who's his son going to be? And his son's son is going to be Moshiach. Because this is not about you. And again, it's not about you to daven for healing on your own behalf. It's not about you to decide not to have children, because your story doesn't begin at your birth and end at your death. It continues well beyond that. There is an entire timeline of Jewish history at play here. It's not just about you. And here you can hear that arrogance piece coming in too. And so Hashem says, yes, you were ill because of your inability to see beyond your lifetime, but you can do teshuvah, and you will be saved. Umikaf melech Asher atzilcha, not only will I save you from your illness, but I'll save you from Asher too. And here is the sign. Let's talk about the sign for a second. Hashem promises a symbol, a sign to show that Hashem will save him. And what is that sign? Pasuk Ches. Hineni meshiv al tzel ha-ma'alot asher yarda b'ma'alot achaz b'shemesh achronit eser ma'alot. Achaz, the father of Chizkiyahu, had made a sundial. And once again, we're talking about an intergenerational reality, the father. And we're talking about a sundial. We're talking about time. And Hashem says, I will make a miracle happen that the shadow of the sundial will turn back 10 ma'alos. Ma'alos are degrees, 10 degrees backwards. The sun will go 10 degrees backwards. And indeed, this is what happened. And Chizkiyahu lived another 15 years. What is the symbolism of this? The one is the clock turning back. And really what Hashem is saying is, I'm giving you another chance. You can go back in time. You can write this differently. You can do a tikkun. And that's in fact what Yeshayahu, what Chizkiyahu does. We're told Chizkiyahu marries Yeshayahu's daughter, and he does have a child who we know became Menashe. The other thing to point out is the word ma'ala means a degree, but it also means to go up. You can do teshuvah, you can fix, you can go up, Chizkiyahu. And also it's a reference to the Shir HaMa'alot. Shir HaMa'alot were the 15 songs which his great-grandfather, David HaMelech, wrote to praise Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, which we know Chizkiyahu is very attached to. And there were 15 steps going up towards the Beis HaMikdash, and there was one perek, one chapter of Tehillim, a Shir HaMa'alos, in parallel to that, a song of ascent, of going up. And the 15 songs of ascent match beautifully to the 15 years which were added to Chizkiyahu's life. So all of this is coming together as we start to see this time trend of seeing this intergenerational reality of Am Yisrael, which Chizkiyahu is coming to know. Psukim Tes Techaf are the song which Chizkiyahu writes. And as we noted, the song perhaps took place before Chizkiyahu was healed, after the promise of his healing, or after he was healed and he's thanking Hashem for it. And what's interesting is there's a lot of parallels in this song to somebody else who didn't listen to the commands of God and chose to go on his own mission and make his own decision about how he should live his life, and that is Yonah. Yonah also, just as Chizkiyahu chose not to have children and avoid the command of God, Yonah didn't listen to God and his command to go speak to the people of Nineveh. Both of them attempted to run away from their responsibilities. Both returned to their responsibilities despite the fact that Am Yisrael would pay a heavy price for it. And both of them sing a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we look at the song that Chizkiyahu sings to Hashem, we can split it up into three different parts. Psukim Yud to Yud Beis describe the terrible illness which he is suffering. Yud Gimel to Yud Dalet talk about the tefillah that he's davening betoch hatzar, inside of that illness. And then ultimately, the perek ends with his praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's take a look at all three parts briefly together. Pasuk Yud, he says as follows, Ani amarti bidmi amai elecha b'sha'arei Sha'ul. I said to myself that I will go to the gates of the grave with these days of my life cut short. Pekudasti yeter shnotai. I have lost the last years of my life. And once again, we're starting to feel the pressure that Chizkiyahu is feeling is I'm running out of time. As he says, Pasuk Yud Beis, Dori nasa v'nigla minika ohel. Dor could mean a dwelling place, like la dor, but here we're going to translate it like the Malbim, my generation. Dori nasa, my generation is going to move on. I am going to be dead, and everybody around me is going to continue living and move on from me. Ko'ohel ro'i, like a tent of a shepherd. There's something transient about my life that feels like it's over. Kipadati ko'oreg chayai. He feels like his life is like a tapestry and the weaver is cutting off the edge of the tapestry. It will not continue to be woven. Once again, we're seeing this theme that he feels like his generation, his life, is something which he's holding onto without seeing that the tapestry will continue long beyond his lifetime, just as a person's legacy does. He will end my life with sickness. From morning to night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put an end to my life. He is suffering, but his distress is not so much at his illness, but it is a distress of recognizing his own frail, limited ability to have an impact in the world within his lifetime, and the awareness that his impact is not going to be limited to his lifetime. Or even to him, to be honest. And then Pasuk Yud Gimel to Yud Dalet describe his tefillah. From that pain, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shivisi ad boker ka'ari. Shivisi often means to face, but here the Targum translates it as I cry out until the morning like a lion. Ken yishaber kol atzmosai. All my bones feel like they're being broken. He's screaming out to Hashem like a lion. And then Pasuk Yud Dalet, kusus agor ken atzafzef. Ehege kayona, a sus could mean a horse. Rashi understands it to be a type of a bird. And he's saying, Ehege, I'm whimpering like a bird. Dalu einai lemarom. I raise my high eyes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I say, Hashem, save me. Arveni, be my guarantor. Protect me. And the Malbim compares these two different prayers. Yud Gimel is a cry like a lion and Yud Dalet is a whimper like a bird. He's giving a scream of agony. And then he's giving a whimper of pain. It's almost as if the transition from Yud Gimel to Yud Dalet is the transition that we're looking for in Chizkiyahu, that he's going from his roar of his certainty of his own righteousness to being humbled in Pasuk Yud Dalet and whimpering like a bird and recognizing, Hashem, I need you. And that's what happens in his prayer in Pasuk Tes Vav, his praise of Hashem. Ma daber va'amar li v'hu asa. What could I possibly say to our Kaddish Baruch Hu? He does everything. He's given me my whole life. And this awareness is what he's recognizing here. Pasuk Yud Zayin ki hine l'shalom mar li mar. He says, bitter it is to me, bitter. When I was sick, peace seemed like such a bitter thing because other people had peace. And I was bitter about the fact that they had it. But Hashem v'ata chashakta nafshi mishachat. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saved me from destruction, not just from illness, but maybe that eternal destruction on not having the ability to be happy that somebody else has shalom when I don't. Hishlachta achorai gavecha kol chata'ai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you sent behind your back all of my sins. You chose to disregard my sins and give me hope and give me life and help me to do teshuva. You gave me back those extra 15 years. You allowed me to turn back the clock. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's important. Ki lot Sha'ol Todeka Maves Yahalaleka, because someone who's dead or in the grave is not a person who's able to praise Hashem. Lo Yisabru Yodeh Bor Al Amitecha, those who are in the pit of death are not able to praise Hashem. Chai Chai Hu Yodeka, but someone who is alive, he can praise Hashem. Kamoni Hayom, like I am today. And here is a very important phrase which he's going to say. Chizkiyahu says, Av Lebanim Yodia et Amitecha. A father will tell his child about your greatness. This is really what Chizkiyahu is learning. I can praise Hashem while I'm alive, but I can continue to praise Hashem even after I'm alive if I've taught my children to praise Hashem. If I recognize how, and the word I keep using, I have a legacy. If I realize how my story does not end when my chapter is over, it continues long beyond my life, then I can realize how I don't have to be so gripped by terror at the thought of my life ending, because my story will continue. And therefore he says, Hashem lehoshi'eni. Hashem said that he would save me. And we were going to sing the nigunim, the praises of Hashem, all of our lives on the house of Hashem. The word nagen, to play music, appears almost exclusively in Tehillim by David HaMelech. And once again, we're seeing how he realizes how he has a past. The melody, if you will, the nigun of his life begins with David HaMelech. And he describes it not as his life anymore, but chayenu, our lives, his life and the life of his children. His story continues. And it is this awareness which actually is part of his entire healing process, not just from his illness, but from his mistakes that he made previously. Thus ends his prayer. And at this point, Yeshayahu is going to give him a sign of his healing and also a way to be healed. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayomer Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu tells him, Yisu divelet te'inim. Take a cake of figs, v'yamrichu al hashchin v'yichyu, and put it on your boils and you will live. And obviously putting figs upon an open wound is not a good idea. And this was a nes, mitoch nes, that not only did the figs not make him more sick and give him a searing amount of pain, but they actually healed him. And that's why the perek ends with Chizkiyahu's awareness of this. Vayomer Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu turns in response to Yeshayahu once he's been healed. And he says, Ma'ot ki e'ele beis Hashem. There are multiple ways of translating this. We're going to read it like Rashi does. Matov umana'e. How incredible is the sign that now I can go back to the Beis HaMikdash. And we know Chizkiyahu's special relationship with the Beis HaMikdash. And he realizes now that he can go back up, reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. The last piece of the story of Chizkiyahu's life is going to be Perek Lamed Tes, which we're going to do tomorrow. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refuah Shelema, Leonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda, Jennifer Hayakara Shelano, Ulepitsu Eit Sahal, Achenu Hayakarim, Betoch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Nina Vachayim Shenka.